The Geekspeak Podcast Network proudly presents The Geek Cave.
And welcome to the first ever episode of the Geek Cave Comic Cast. I'll be your host, Greg. I'm joined with Darren, who most of you know.
Hey, everybody.
So, and basically we're just trying to do a weekly cast of, you know, what's new in comics, you know, what we're reading, movie announcements, because there's always plenty, and other news from, you know, not only just Marvel DC, but as well as, you know, Image, Dark Horse, and a few others, you know, Dynamite. So, basically, I like comics and I want someone to talk about it too, so...
Yeah, and, you know, the Geek Cave podcast family is, everybody is a geek for something. We do cover comics, but you being pretty insanely into them, it was a great idea to kind of do like a weekly show and make sure people are up to date on what to put in their pull list.
Right, you know, something short, you know, because, you know, I've been going to the comic store every Wednesday for the past 4 or 5 years. So
I was about to say, for the past, how old are you?
Actually, that's a funny thing. You know, unlike a lot of my friends at the store, I really didn't get into comics until after college, once I had my first job and I had money, you know? So I was like, hey, I like these X-Men movies. Let's go see what this is about. So, and the rest, you know, history. So, nice. So let's just start with what we've been reading. I'll go first. I've been reading Dynamite's book, Legendary. Which is a steampunk rendition of a lot of their characters, like Red Sonja, Green Hornet, Vampirella, Flash Gordon, and is written by Bill Willingham, you might know from Fables fame. So,
okay.
And it's got some really gorgeous art. The story kind of follows Red Sonja's sister, who is out looking for Sonja, and she, you know, comes across, you know, Vampirella, you know, Hornet, Kato, and all of them, and this is, builds up to this really cool 7-issue climax with all these really cool heroes fighting to save the world, you know.
So it's kind of like a pulp heroes Justice League.
Right, exactly. With, you know, what's, you know, one thing I love about it is, one, I love steampunk. Anything steampunk is great. The world is wonderful. The designs are great. But, I mean, there's a lot of these heroes that, I mean, yeah, we may know of, but because they're Dynamite, you know, they're not one of the big two or even three, but they really do these characters justice and, you know, got me interested in a lot of these characters. Like, the only one I had really read beforehand was Red Sonja, and that's thanks to Gail Simone, so... but no, I really love the book, and there's actually three spinoffs going on right now that started this month. Vampirella, Red Sonja, and Green Hornet. I have a couple of miniseries spawning out of that, and it's more of this the really same fun universe. So, but yeah, a Legendary with two R's, Legendary. So, okay. How about you? You've been reading.
Well, I picked up the hardcover deluxe edition of Superman Unchained. For those who missed it, this was like, I want to say it was like a weekly series. Scott Snyder, Jim Lee, Scott Williams, Dustin Nguyen, Alex Sinclair. The art's fantastic. It basically is just one self-contained story. What if Superman was not the first... to, you know, fight for truth, justice, and the American way? What if another alien had fallen way back when? Like, back during World War II. And the government got to him first. And that kind of covers this story. Follows a character who... Now, I'm not going to spoil anything, including his name, but he's an alien. In fact, this alien was what was actually dropped on Nagasaki. Not a nuclear bomb during 1945, but it was actually this guy.
Wow. That's neat.
The U.S. government dropped this guy on Nagasaki. So that kind of tells you what you're dealing with. It, like I said, it's a self-contained story. You don't need to be following any of the new 52 books to read this. But, you know, I mean, it did come out, you know, back at last year, maybe year before that. I mean, it was a really long storyline. The deluxe edition includes... kind of like recaps of the scripts that they use to plan out the storyline, plus about a, you know, more than two dozen variant covers, some that's brilliantly spoofed Silver Age stuff. One of the variant covers was Superman discovering that Lois is Batman, for example. So, you know.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that's a great roster, too. I mean, Scott Snyder, obviously Jim Lee, Dustin Nguyen. I've met both Snyder and Nguyen at Comic-Con. They're great people. Scott Snyder is just a very entertaining guy. So,
oh, yeah, well, you take like one of the better writers in comics right now, and you combine them with one of the better artists or most iconic artists, you know,
in
Jim Lee, yeah. And then you take Scott Williams, who's a fantastic inker. You got Dustin and Alex Sinclair, and so you've got like a really great roster that has a two fantastic moments. I told you about one of them where. Yeah. Batman helps Superman create this kind of his own version of kryptonite for this alien. And Superman mentions how great it is to have paranoid friends. And then the next bit we get is Batman whistling while he works at his computer. It's just a nice little throwaway thing that really makes you appreciate it. And the story presents Superman as a badass. And that is something that's kind of been lost lately with certain incarnations of Superman. And I've always been a Superman fan. I grew up a Superman fan. So this story was pretty much exactly what I wanted it to be.
Nice. Yeah, I've not read it. I definitely need to pick it up. I was waiting for the trade and kind of forgot about it. But, you know, I'm not really a Superman fan. I am a Scott Snyder fan, though. So it was, you know, nice to read a good self-contained story. That's what I was looking for a Superman book. So
I definitely think it's worth it.
Awesome. Definitely have to check that out. So, okay. Shall we go on to new releases?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure. Yeah, so I pick up a lot of comics a month, but there's a couple I wanted to highlight. You know, first one I do want to big is Silk Number One from Marvel. You didn't read Spider-Verse yet, have you, Darren?
The only Spider-Verse book I've read was Spider-Gwen's debut.
Oh, nice, nice. Also, we'll talk about that in just a little bit,
right.
in the upcoming section. But, you know, right before the Spider-Verse started, there was, you know, revealed, you know, with part of the, you know, whole original Sin event, that Peter Parker wasn't the only person bitten that day. There's also this girl named Cindy who, you know, developed similar but different powers, but then she was locked away in a bunker for a long time by, you know, a scientist who was, quote-unquote, trying to help her. But she, you know, Peter found her, and then she was a big part of the Spider-Verse event, but now she's, you know, okay, all my Destiny stuff's done now, who am I now? You know, she's been, you know, 10, 15 years out of society, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what she's doing now. You know, whole thing, she's trying to find her parents, the whole thing. And so... You know, very older powers to do. Goes to get a job, and of course, at the with Jonah Jameson, you know, taking pictures of herself. Yeah, but it's really interesting because really with the whole Spider-Verse starting so quickly after she was introduced, we didn't get really a lot of characterization of her. So this is really goes to flesh her out. You know, as kind of, you know, really insecure superhero. You know, so and it kind of feels like, you know, going off of the, you know, Hawkeyeization of solo books, where, you know, you have her both in and out of costume, focusing almost more out of her outside of the costume. And it kind of feels a little bit like the new Batgirl series in a good way. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like the characters. You know, I think she's a neat concept. And, you know, I'm really enjoyed this book.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, any
now,
fans?
Go ahead.
No, I was saying any fans of the whole, you know, Spider-Verse or, you know, check it out. Or just, you know, cool girls in comics, really. So
nice. Well, for those of you playing at home, this was taped on February 19th, day before a number of comics hit stands, including Justice League number 39, which had Green Lantern return to the Justice League. If you haven't been following the Justice League books or DC in general, Hal Jordan had been kind of doing his own thing after the events of – oh, I'm trying to – there were so many big event books during Geoff Johns' tenure. I think it was after Green Lantern, The End, basically. I don't remember what battle they called it, War of the Light maybe. Hal ends up becoming in charge – of the Guardians, of in charge of the core itself. He becomes like the one guy. Storyline, blah, blah, blah. Hal Jordan is back. Justice League 39. That's pretty much all you need to know. You should pick that one up if you're a big Hal Jordan fan. And, you know, there have been several. I mean, I'm more of a I should amend that, where I grew up a DC guy. And up until recently, I was more of a DC guy. But now I kind of find myself straddling the fence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And for the record, I'm more of a Marvel guy, but really, I'm more of an Image guy right now. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's hard for me to really kind of get into the Marvel books because I know that there's this big, you know, world-shattering event coming up with Secret Wars.
Right.
So how many of these are going to be legit, you know, storylines to follow? What is worth noting is that Uncanny X-Men 31, Brian Michael Bendis already addressed this. So if you're picking that up, you're going to see the cover is Cyclops fighting Havoc. That does not happen anywhere in the book.
Nice.
At all. Apparently, they added on to the Last Will and Testament of Charles Xavier story.
Oh, gosh.
This is the finale of that story. The story's taking forever, I
it's
know.
It's so long.
So this is the finale of that story. The problem being, the cover doesn't match it at all whatsoever. So when you buy this, don't read the comic in the store. I mean, support your comic book store. If you're going to buy it, buy it. But just note that what you see on the cover is not what you are getting. Mm-hmm. And just leave it at that.
Right. So the next title I want to mention is Deadly Class.
Okay.
I love this book. I love this book. It is violent. It is quite violent. sex, drugs, rock and roll, and more violence. It is from Rick Remender, so any fans of Rick Remender's X-Force run should kind of know what you're getting into. But this is kind of the last issue of the second arc. The whole idea is that it follows a school for kids, kind of like Hogwarts for assassins. And, yeah, and it takes place in the 80s. A lot of the scenarios they run into are from Remender's own childhood, so, which is kind of interesting. But this is kind of the big fight with the rival gang, for lack of a better term. So, and it's brutal. The fight scene is the scenes, because you have, you know, it's like 5-on-5, you know, Marcus, the main character, and his friends, versus these out of their mind on drugs, you know, shotguns, serial killer wannabes, essentially. the leader being a kid who bullied Marcus back when they were in the orphanage together.
Of course.
So like, if you know Remender, you know it's not going to have a happy ending, because he doesn't write happy endings. And it's messed up, it's violent, but it is so much fun to read month in and month out, you know. Just these really angsty and violent, emotional kids going through, you know, teenagers in the 80s, you know, and on top of that, you know, learning how to kill each other and everyone else. So, I said, if you want something, you know, way out of the normal, really any Remender book will do, but Deadly Class is my favorite. So, if it's,
yeah, not for kids, though. Just
no, not for kids, definitely. yeah, not for kids. About kids, but not for kids. Maybe for teenagers, right. You know.
There you go.
Yeah. But I like Remender style, you know, so.
Sure.
Yeah, because if you've read his Uncanny X-Force run and loved it like I did, you need to check this one out. It's along the same veins, so. So. Then last one I just wanted to mention was Lazarus by Greg Rucka. Are you familiar with this one, Darren? Lazarus?
I am not familiar with it.
Okay. Basically, it's kind of a post-apocalyptic thing, dystopia, where a group of like 8 or 9 families rule the world. They each have carved out sections of the world. Like, one family owns, like, you know, the western U.S. The other one owns, like, you know, eastern Canada. You have the rule of Africa. And they each have their spider guard, who is, you know, a Lazarus. That is, they can't die under, you know, very specific circumstances. And going over this, again, towards the end of the second arc, and big political confrontation, and this is the fight. This is finally we see Lazarus on Lazarus fight. It's two immortals, essentially, hacking at each other with giant swords. And it is intense, really emotional because it keeps flashing back to the people watching it. Because this is pretty much like if there's a big fight at the UN and all the delegates watching, it's essentially the scene.
Nice.
So, and they're just, you know, these two characters who are friends, you know, but because of their family obligations, they have to try to kill each other. And,
well, yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just, you know, slicing each other left and right. And what happens at the end, it was really interesting. Rucka writes characters better than almost anyone else. You know, I'm biased, but if you like, you know, Postapocalyptic, Lazarus is great. Rucka just, like I say, does characters so well. So
nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are my recommendations for the week: Silk, Lazarus, and then Deadly Class. So next,
I have nothing to add.
Nothing to add. Okay. Let's see. Do we want to talk briefly then about Marvel and DC's big events, who are totally not the same thing, but they kind of are?
Okay. Well, yeah. The two things that are not reboots, but kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Marvel's got Secret Wars,
and DC's got Convergence.
Yeah, Convergence is combining all of DC's realities into one. DC promises. They promised, dude. They promised. That after all this, that's it. One reality. Deal with it. I don't believe them.
No.
But that's what they promise.
I mean, it's not really, apart from Earth 2, maybe Earth 3 for the Crime Syndicate, and New 52 really wasn't affected by the alternate, other worlds.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm kind of taking it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I haven't really followed it very much. If you want to follow it, you're going to have to read Future's End, because that really kind of ties in as well.
Yeah.
As I don't remember what the other – the last big company-wide crossover.
Yeah. I'm just going into it. Really, the only reason I'm curious about it is because they're bringing back a couple of characters that I really liked that are not currently present in New 52. Renee Montoya. The Question.
The Question, yeah.
Written actually by Rucka, who I'm surprised they got him to do that. Considering the last time I talked to him, he did not have kind things to say. they're
that
doing
by design.
Yeah. They're doing a Oracle and Nightwing book, which I ship, so.
Yeah.
And then Cassandra Cain. Cassandra Cain, who's my favorite Batgirl. I mean, nothing against Steph or Babs, but I really liked Cass, so.
Nice. Well, you're not alone, but, again, the problem is with all of these characters, kind of showing up for Convergence, how many are actually going to be left?
Right, exactly.
We know that the New 52 is going to be coming to an end, but the New 52, what we think of as far as, like, that universe, apparently, is going to be continuing. Mm-hmm. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, they're all going to be younger, like they are now in current stories. There are going to be a lot of things that will carry over, so we'll have to wait and see. On the Marvel side, Secret Wars is basically Crisis on Infinite Earths, but done with Marvel.
Right.
That's kind of what it sounds like, where, oh no, universes are colliding, and we've never seen this kind of story before. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is that through all of Marvel's shenanigans, I mean, they had kind of like the soft reboot with Marvel Now, that universe still maintained. Everything that had happened still kind of happened. Just don't look at Spider-Man One More Day. Just don't look at it. But everything else, yeah, that happened. With this, Marvel was saying, okay, that is it. The 616 universe, the basic Marvel universe, is coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of big news, because a lot of these characters have never had kind of like that system-wide reboot thing. I mean, I wonder, really, a lot of them have kind of fluid backstories that can kind of be adjusted for modern times, I mean, Iron Man, instead of being, getting in trouble during Vietnam, he gets in trouble during, the Afghanistan war or something like that. The only thing that remains unchanged is that Steve Rogers was in World War II. They just made him wait longer before they thawed him out.
Exactly, which is totally plausible, so.
Yeah, it's about as plausible as anything else in a Marvel book. But I don't know. I'm kind of interested more in Secret Wars, but at the moment, I'm not really sure I'm going to be picking up either of them. The only book I know I'm buying in the immediate future besides Spider-Gwen is Archie versus Predator.
Nice.
And that is for obvious reasons.
Yes. The one thing I do have to give Marvel is that they're not just like, hey, here's an event. You know, they've been building up to it with about 50, 60 issues between, more than that, with Avengers, New Avengers, and Avengers World. Jonathan Hickman has really created this big, slow-burning epic like he does wonderfully to, I mean, it's not just some, hey, world's gone, but, you know, it's been, you know, leading this way for several years. So, like, while the idea may not be new, how they're going to, how they're getting to that point, I like Hickman's style, you know, so.
Right. But, you know, on the downside, that means you have to read so many books to know what's going on.
This is true, so.
And at $4 a pop.
Don't judge
$240.
Don't judge me.
There's no judgment here. We don't judge on the Geek Cave. That was a statement of fact.
Statement of my wallet.
What you do with your money is your business, man.
So, yeah, I'll be picking them up both because, you know, I'm curious how they pan out. So,
okay.
So, all right, then let's see. Let's go into visual, you know, film, TV, and otherwise.
Okay. Well, I've got a few things here. For starters, Miranda Baccarin continues to be everywhere.
Yay!
You know, I remember after Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, everyone was like, Felicia Day, she is the queen of nerds. I would actually say that Miranda Baccarin is. She did Firefly. Mm-hmm. She did The. She did Gotham. She's doing Gotham. She's the voice of Talia al Ghul in the DC animated cinematic universe. She's the voice of the AI that Harrison Wells speaks with in The Flash. And now she's going to be the love interest of Deadpool in the 2016 film Deadpool. So no one knows exactly what role she's going to be playing. They haven't named the role. They've just said she's going to be the love interest. My response is, wait, Deadpool needs a love interest?
Well, he's married now.
Yeah, he is. So maybe she's deaf. I don't know. Jay Hernandez has been cast. Well, he's in talks to join the Suicide Squad movie. As you know, the guy who was playing Rick Flag left. And they haven't been able to recast him. And it's kind of a problem because that's the main character. So, you know. Jay Hernandez, they're not saying if he's going to be playing Rick Flag. Also in negotiations, Viola Davis, who's going to be playing Amanda Waller.
Oh, she better be. I mean, there is no one else I'd rather have play Waller than her.
And Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor is going to appear in Suicide Squad at some point, which at this point just looks like Suicide Squad is basically, hey, you know, DC has decent villains, and here they all are, you know? Which, that's a nice way to kind of fight Marvel's cinematic universe, because when you really look at it, who is the main villain of the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And if you say anything other than Loki, you're wrong.
Thanos.
Because, okay, all right, but Thanos hasn't been fleshed out yet. As
right.
far as we know, I mean, the only villain that has clear motivations and is more than a one-dimensional character is freaking Loki. You know? He's had three films now.
Oh, yeah.
He is Marvel's Joker.
Yes.
The unfortunate thing for Marvel is that DC actually has Joker. He's going to be in Suicide Squad, along with a bunch of other people. I mean, DC does villains. They do villains, and they do Batman well.
Right.
Marvel does heroes well, but their villains, other than Magneto and a few others, unfortunately for them, their villains aren't as... I don't want to say memorable because, you know, there's going to be a lot of Marvel fans that'll rip my head off for saying that. But I just – I kind of want to mix and match. I want to give DC's villains to Marvel, you know, because I think they could do a lot of good with them. Moving on, speaking of DC, another comic book TV series getting the pilot episode. You know, Flash is doing well. Arrow's doing well. Supergirl is going to be running for at least one season on CBS. They've already committed to that. They haven't even seen the pilot for that, which that sounds dangerous. But
Constantine, we don't know.
Constantine, as far as we know, they're done. They haven't been renewed yet. So judging by the way that NBC kind of treated them, kind of sticking them on a night where nobody watches TV.
I know. I like the show. I thought it was great. You know,
a lot of people who've seen it like the show. The problem is
getting people to watch it.
Yeah, getting people to watch it, and it's different. It's, I mean, all people know when they hear the word Constantine is that Keanu Reeves movie, which was not that bad. It had flaws.
The movie itself was all right, but it wasn't John Constantine. It wasn't what I loved about Hellblazer.
It was Neo as John Constantine.
Right.
Although, to be honest, I forgot the name. Go back and listen to the Nostalgia Critic's review of the Matrix movies.
Yes.
Because he realizes early on what Neo's name is, and that's all he calls him as.
Tom.
Tom, yes. Tom. So it's Tom. Not to be confused with Tom from the Geek Man Cave. As Constantine, essentially. But all that to say, now Fox has formally ordered a pilot based on DC's and Vertigo's Lucifer. Which is created by Neil Gaiman, Sam Keith, Mike Dringenberg. Long story short, Lucifer decides to take a break from ruling hell, and he wants to help the LAPD punish criminals.
The whole break from hell happens in Sandman.
But, you know, for since we don't know if they were ever getting a Sandman series, I mean, that's the treatment that it's getting. So
yes.
And this is being treated as an hour-long drama. That's right, a drama. So, nice.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, make of it what you will. That is going to be happening in the very near future. And this is not a television or movie thing, but it is something that is visual. Dark Horse Comics is celebrating Hellboy's 21st birthday by releasing a special beer.
Nice!
It is a red ale, and it is named the Right Hand of Doom.
That's awesome.
It's a limited edition release from Oregon-based Rogue Ales. You can get it right now at rogue.com. You have to be 21 or over or older, of course. About 6.8% alcohol per volume. But there you go. You can get Hellboy beer. The Right Hand of Doom Red Ale is available now.
Nice. I'm okay with that.
Hellboy on the cover. Got the Hellboy on the label and everything. So
I like Hellboy. I really do. I haven't read as much as I should, but I really do like him as a character.
I enjoy him. I haven't read. I admit I have not read Hellboy. I've seen the movies, but that was enough for me. I enjoyed the character. So
I mean, the movies. That was Del Toro, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, he was the right person to do those. So yeah, and one last little bit of movie news for the new X-Men movie, a young Nightcrawler was cast.
Ah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Cody Smith McPhee. He was the kid from The Road.
Yes. So he was also in Paranorman and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that. So, confirmed that Kurt Wagner will be in. You know, as you know, probably younger, which is you know.
Worse. I guess at this point we're just pretending that the first two X-Men movies also didn't happen, because the first time that the X-Men are supposed to meet Nightcrawler is X-Men 2, but we already know that Cyclops, Jean, and Storm are going to be in X-Men Apocalypse. So, screw it. I don't care.
I mean, they really left themselves, you know, a big opening after the end of Days of Future Past. They can kind of, you know, do what they want from, you know, which...
They basically...
You know,
film
reboot,
franchise to an end. At the same time, you know, creating a new franchise. So, it's cool. I get it. I love the First Class franchise. I enjoyed the hell out of Days of Future. I enjoyed Days of Future Past way more than I thought I would. So I'm looking forward to Apocalypse.
One word: blink. Yes. I mean that. You know, she was in the movie. Her Warpath. I was done. I was good.
She's the mutant that nobody knew about really until Days of Future Past, and then everybody loved.
What's funny is she wasn't actually in Days of Future Past, the original story.
I know. Yeah. Well, if we want to go the original story, then Hugh Jackman doesn't have that much time on camera. So
right, no, then you have Rachel Gray. But but if you like Blink, go read Exiles. It's a 100-issue series that spotlights. She leads a team of dimension hopping mutants, and it's a wonderful run. Exiles is very dear to my heart. So. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, so next week, the big release for next week is Spider-Gwen.
Buy two copies.
Yeah, buy two copies, you know, buy the Scotty Young variant, so...
And I'm just saying buy two copies so you can sell one later, because, I mean, the Spider-Gwen Spider-Verse issue a couple months later ended up selling for like $70 on eBay.
Jeez.
So I'm just saying you better hold on to that and put it in, like, a bag it, board it, and then put it in one of those plastic boards and then put it somewhere high up so, like, your cat can't get to it.
Yeah, so this will be, you know... I was just kind of really surprised. Like, I mean, don't worry, it was a great issue, but the fact that everyone was like, okay, we want it. Okay, sweet. So.
Yeah, I just hope that it's not something that's slapdash and rushed.
Right.
It is a response. Usually when you respond to your audience in such a quick manner, mistakes are made. Yeah. And this goes for any medium, you know, whether it's comics, games, movies, freaking pro wrestling. If you don't have a plan, then bad things happen. So I hope they have a plan.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually pretty similar to what happened with the original Spider-Girl. You know, she was in a couple of issues, and then, you know, fans wanted her, and she wanted to have, you know, 100-plus series, you know, and it was really good. So...
Yeah.
And they do have the team behind the Edge of Spider-Verse book writing it, you know, so...
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Spider-Gwen resonated with the audience to such a degree that... Mm-hmm. There was an indie band that actually made a song based on the song in the book. So that tells you what kind of fanaticism there is for this project.
Right, which surprised the hell out of me. But, I mean, it's awesome that new take on a classic character is getting this much love. You know.
And how is there not a band called the Mary Janes already? How could that... How is it that Marvel was unique in this?
You think there'd be one in Colorado at least, so.
At least. You would think of any band name, the Mary Janes would have been taken in the 70s.
Right, exactly.
But here we are.
Nice.
It works, whatever.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, so, yeah, stay tuned for next week. Hopefully we'll have a second episode of the Geek Cave Comic Cast.
All right, and remember, if you want to follow anything else that we've been talking about, whether it's here in the main Geek Cave podcast episodes, all you have to do is subscribe on Stitcher or iTunes or visit geekcavepodcast.com.
Until next time, true believers.
Thanks for spending some time with us in the Geek Cave. You can find more geeky podcasts at thegeekspeaknetwork.net.